Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The Con Sequence. And I want you to turn to James chapter 1. It's in the New Testament. If you don't know where it is, go to the table of contents in the front. And we're going to look at James chapter 1, maybe a couple of verses, other passages if we have time. I don't know if you've ever been conned before, but it's not very fun. There's an old movie years and years ago. Some of you came out before you were even born, I know, called The Sting. Anybody remember The Sting? Raise your hand. There's still some sting people out there. Just a great old movie, and the whole thing was about a sting, about a con. And there are people out there who professionally do this. That is their whole life. They go up to little old ladies' doors, knock on the door, and sell them rails, you know, bars for their windows, and they don't deliver or take their money. People go to banks and stand outside of banks and pose as some law enforcement person and get people to give them money. And people do crazy stuff. They buy this stuff. One of the, like a second father to me almost. He was a crusty old codger, just a guy that I connected with when I was in college, and a great man. He's dead now, died years ago. But he was in the oil business. And he was in business with a lot of these other big oil business guys. And at some point, a bunch of them got greedy. And a man came along and offered them an oil tanker. An oil tanker. I'm talking about tens, 20, you know, millions and millions of dollars. An entire ship to haul oil. And had this story, this elaborate story, and had pictures. And it was not too good not to be true, but too good not to do. And he got him. And they put millions of dollars up, and this guy disappeared. The boat didn't even exist, and wiped out this whole group of men, their finances, crushed them. They got a little bit too greedy, got right there where they had to have more, and a con came along, closed them, took their money, and left them high and dry. Every day, people try to con us in different ways. But what I want to talk about with you today is this, that the ultimate con that goes on in our lives is us. We con ourselves every day. And I'm going to talk to you about something that applies to our everyday life, where we live all the time, and it is probably one of the greatest struggles that we have, whether people identify it as this or not, whether you call it sin or not. What keeps us from being who God wants us to be and living the way God intended for us to live is sin. And the devil comes along with enticing things, but you know, you really can't, you know, you can put it on the back of little kids' diapers all you want, but you really can't even say, the devil made me do it, because the devil can't really make you do anything. You can only respond to what he puts out there and choose to jump in the trap. But as we'll see in the scripture, the trap is set by you and what's going on in my own heart and in our own hearts and lives. Now, for the sake of context, we're going to start with James chapter 1. And following here and get down to the verses that we're going to camp out on a little bit today. Let's go James chapter 1, verse 1. He says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren. And I think it's huge. I'm not saying these principles can't apply to life in general, but he's writing to Christians, to believers here. And he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, trials are tests. It's things that come along. This is not the same necessarily as a temptation. This is just tough stuff, just things that happen in the life. You almost fall into it. You go, how did this happen? He says, count it all joy when this happens, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So when challenges come along, come out of nowhere, don't go screaming and hollering at God. Say, God, thank you. This isn't any fun, but I'm going to count it all joy because I know you're going to bring some great thing out of this circumstance, out of this problem, and you're trying to perfect me and teach me and get me to the place and the person you want me to be. I'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Verse 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Just ask. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You know, this is a very basic principle, guys, in life. If you want something, spit it out. There are things, if you don't ask, if you don't spit it out, nothing's going to happen. And God says, look, just ask me for stuff. And if I don't think it's best for you, I'll hold back, but you're not even bothering to ask me. And if you're going to ask me, why don't you ask me for something you can't pull off by yourself, so when it happens, I'll get all the glory and you'll know it was me, and then we'll all be happy. Because you'll get more than you ever would have gotten by yourself, and I'm going to get the glory, and that's what I deserve and I'm after. Just ask me. So he says, well, when you ask, ask, not, well, you know, if you'd like to or whatever, I don't want to impose, or, you know, come and say, God, look, I'm going to ask you for this specifically. And in this case, James says, ask for wisdom. But let him ask in faith, he says, not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Verse 9, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but let the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beauty appearance perishes, its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Now look at verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now let me read you some of the definition for this word here used, temptation. It could mean an experiment, an attempt, a trial, a proving. It could also mean a trial of man's fidelity, integrity, virtue, constancy, an enticement to sin, temptation, whether arising from the desires or from the outward circumstances, the internal temptation to sin, of the temptation by which the devil sought to divert Jesus, the Messiah, from his divine errand. So I think we all know what a temptation is. Every day we get hit with temptations, and we all have different temptations. I mean, for some people, it's a refrigerator door. And they walk by a refrigerator door, or I stopped last night, and this is a long marriage story, but I won't tell that. We were in the car driving, and Rebecca said something about wanting a candy bar, so we live down the street, and there's no convenience stores. It's all liquor stores. And a liquor store is a whole other kind of place, and sometimes, well, I don't want to pull in here, somebody will see my car, and I'm in the liquor store, you know, who cares? Anyhow, so I stopped to go in there and get a candy bar, walked in, and you know what? They don't have a lot of candy in the liquor stores, because it's not a candy store. At least not that kind of candy. It's candy for somebody else. And I walked in there, and it occurred to me, I walked in there, and I had to look. I don't even know what these things are, Bacardi or all this rum, all this stuff. I looked across the racks. Jack Daniels, I have met him before. But anyhow, I look on all these shelves. There's not even a lot of food. And I thought, you know, for some people, for some men and women, walking in that liquor store is like being completely consumed and attacked, and they just get completely overwhelmed, and they got to buy something and go out and hide under a bridge or under their bed or in their closet or just at home and drink the whole bottle. And it does nothing for me. Absolutely nothing. I walked in and out of there, spoke to the lady. My heart didn't race. Nothing happened. Now, let me go a little step farther. How many got cable TV at home? Raise your hand. Get them up. Now, let me tell you something. TV can be a great thing, but TV can be a nightmare. There is more garbage coming out of that same wire in your house. You can get CNN on one side, and on the other end, it's MTV. If you haven't watched MTV in a while, let me tell you something. Do not leave your children watching MTV thinking it's just a bunch of music videos, and the videos themselves are a disaster. There are shows like Undressed, and it's straight, gay, every kind of sex you can imagine, and parents go, oh, they're just watching MTV. It is not just music. And for some people, cable TV, now I'm going to get real personal here. We moved in this place, it's got cable TV, and there are certain stations where every once in a while a great movie comes on, and every once in a while a nightmare movie comes on. And you can dance and play around this and say, well, we'll leave it on. It'll be okay. I called the cable TV company the other day. I said, look, I know that with the money I'm spending for this premium package, I get all these movies. But I'm asking you to send somebody down here and turn the movies off. I don't care what it costs me. I can't get less with it and forget my package. Get this stuff off. All right? And you say, well, I don't want to do that because sometimes I get weak and I want to watch those movies. You're conning yourself. You're leaving stuff in your house. How many of you have guns in your house? Raise your hand. Ooh, we're not going to get many hands. You got guns. All right, let me make a suggestion. Go home today, load a gun, and just lay it on the kitchen table and leave it there no matter who comes in and out. Let them pick it up, children, anything. Just let them play with that gun all they want to. You would not leave a loaded gun in your house because somebody could, even an adult could pick it up horsing around and somebody get killed. Don't leave loaded guns in your house. That can destroy your marriage, your life. You say, well, I didn't come to hear this. You're trying to mess with my life. I just want to hear nice talk. I don't want to change the way I live. If you don't change the way you live, guys, what are you going to change? So these trials come, and as you'll see in a minute, they come not just from the outside, but from the inside. Now, he uses an interesting word here. He says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved. This word approved means accepted, particularly of coins and money, or it can also mean accepted, pleasing, or acceptable. Now, I'm going to read you a deal by Donald Barnhouse. I'm just going to quote this, wrote, in the ancient world, there was no banking system as we know it today and no paper money. All money was made from metal, heated until liquid, poured into molds and allowed to cool. When the coins were cooled, it was necessary to smooth off the uneven edges. The coins were comparatively soft, and of course, many people shaved them closely. In one century, more than 80 laws were passed in Athens to stop the practice of shaving down the coins then in circulation. But some money changers were men of integrity who would accept no counterfeit money. Now, what would they do? If it's gold coin, they'd take it. It's one thing to shave off the edges, but these guys would shave it down, take those shavings, and they'd have some gold, but it's still passed as a coin. And they'd go so far, just do everything they could. I still got a coin here. There's a lot of it gone, but they'd shave. But there were a few people of integrity who would accept no counterfeit money. They were men of honor who put only genuine, full-weighted money into circulation. Such men were called dokimos, or approved. So go back and read verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, proven that he's not shaving off the edges. You're not trying just to get by. You want to be legitimate. You want to be full value. You want to say, God, whether people see me or not, in public or in private, I want to be the same person. And then God is the one who ultimately looks down and sees this anyway. Let me tell you something. There's no way, and nobody will talk about it at church or anywhere, really. The secret sins, the stuff that you're sneaking around doing and think nobody knows and you're not going to get caught and we're going to get away with it. I remember a preacher told me one time, I used to say this in his sermons all the time, whatever you uncover, God will cover. Whatever you cover, God will uncover. Now, if you can't do this by yourself, you say, well, no one knows. Rebecca and I had a friend for years. This guy, we knew he was an alcoholic. He'd go to a business place in the middle of the morning. He'd go out in the car. He'd drink, get a bottle, come back in with perfume, gosh awful perfume. I don't know what he was thinking. He might have been drinking the perfume for all I know. But, I mean, he would try to cover, you know, mints and perfume and do everything. And it was obvious this guy was a drunk and he would not talk about it, would not admit it, wouldn't do anything about it. You're going to die doing some of this stuff if you don't do something about it. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, remember the word life, because the contrast here in a minute is going to be from life to death. Verse 13. Now, James is saying to these people, obviously, right there, these 12 scattered tribes, but he is applying this same stuff can apply to us. Now, listen to the rationale that we try to use that he overcomes. He says in verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, and we've already gone over the word what is to be tempted, and he quotes somebody who's saying this, well, I'm tempted by God. God's tempting me. He says, don't anybody try it and say that God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Now, before we go any farther on this, I got to quote you a verse and let you think about this and try to figure this out. If you go to the Lord's Prayer, there's a phrase in there, our Father which art in heaven, we all know it. I recommend praying it every day, not religiously, but think about what you're praying. There is a phrase in there, and I recommend you pray it in the morning every day. Don't wait till the end. When you're praying, give us this day our daily bread, that ain't something you pray at night, okay? Pray it in the morning. Father, I'm awake, I'm here, you're my Father, hallowed be your name, and I'm checking in, I'm worshiping you, your kingdom come, your will be done. You go through the whole thing, and there's a phrase in there, and this is what it says. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why would you pray that if the Bible says he can't tempt you with temptation or the evil anyway? What I believe it's saying there is this. I wake up and I say, okay, God, I'm awake, I'm alive, you're it. I don't want to screw another day up. I am checking in right now. And part of my prayer is this. If you were going to allow me to end up in some place where the devil or my own lusts and things would cause me trouble, if part of the day, if I didn't check in, that I would end up in some place and be confronted with all these things to try to get my attention and get me to pray and get me to turn to you, you don't have to mess with all that, God. I'm already here. Don't lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil. I'm checking in now. Save us all the trouble and the anguish. I'm going to walk with you all day long. You don't have to come get me. I'm already here. You see the difference? If you don't check in, then what does God do? He allows us to go out through our day and get in situations, and you end up someplace, if you had prayed to begin with, you wouldn't be there. And you stop, and now you're in the thick of the battle. You shouldn't even be there. And God says, okay, what are we doing here? What are you going to do? And now you got to find your weapon and try to defend yourself instead of praying early on and saying, God, I don't even want to go those places. I don't want to be there. I don't even want to drive home that way today. And you make decisions before you get there, not when you get there, and then have to hammer it out. But he says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Now, the devil tried it in the wilderness with Jesus. And even Jesus, when he was tempted, and the human side of him, something going on out there, was tempted, but the devil couldn't get him to do it. And Jesus came back with scripture all the time. And this isn't about this, but it's all about this. It's about prayer. It's about scripture. I try every day of my life to get up, and my girls know this happens. They see me. They find me reading my Bible. I'm not saying I do it religiously. There are days I miss. It's not that I get, you know, hit over the head or something or punished. Try to do it every day. You eat every day. Read the scriptures. Start your day that way and say, God, I got to have scripture in my mind. I don't want this junk in my mind. Get him in your mind. Talk to him. Establish and maintain that relationship with him. Verse 14. So how does it happen? How do we get tempted? How do we get sucked into this sin and end up the same place all the time? But each one, if it's not God tempting us, he says, but each one of us is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. It's all inside you. You are conning yourself. All this stuff happens on the inside. Now, obviously, I don't have any struggle with alcohol. Okay, there is nothing. Drugs, there's not a drug. I smell marijuana. It makes you kind of smell bad. Some people smell secondhand marijuana smoke, and they're looking for the weeds in the yard. Man, they want to know, where is that coming from? Give me some of that. If somebody piled 100 pounds of cocaine on the stage, I'd say, we got to get a broom. We got to clean this mess up. Some of you would want to run up here and dive in the thing. Head first, nose first, because that's your deal. Somehow, whether physiologically or emotionally or mentally, we all have these things inside of us that for some reason we have either pursued them at some point in our life and fed them and exacerbated this problem to the point that we have to, when we see it, we get pulled into it. And without God's help, we are toast. And as we'll see in a minute, there's a point, there's a line you cross with temptation that once you go over, it is almost like standing on the edge of a cliff and thinking about jumping off and bungee jumping or parachuting, whatever you're doing. You can stand there all you want. You can back up from the edge. And if you still haven't jumped, you can back up from the edge and your heart's racing. But the second you go up to the edge of that cliff and you take a step off the edge and you start to drop, you are gone. There is no reaching back up like the cartoons do and climbing through the air and saving yourself. And you go too close to the edge. I go too close to the edge. I let myself go. I jump and then I'm gone. And it's a tumble. You can't get back. And that whole thing takes its course. And the shame and the guilt and the embarrassment follow through. And you say, well, God, thank God he forgives me. Don't go jumping just to get more forgiveness, because in a minute you'll see what the result of that is. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away. Now, let me read you the definition of this word drawn away. It's metaphorically, it means to lure forth in hunting and fishing. As game is lured from its hiding place, so man by lure is allured from the safety of self-restraint to sin. In James 1:14, the language of the hunting is transferred to the seduction of a harlot. Now, guys, I know the Bible talks about, there are not many men on the planet who can seduce a woman, so it must be a lot of in the Bible about women seducing men, because men just can't pull it off. That's the most positive explanation I think I could ever give for why there's so much talk in the Bible about harlots and whores and all these things, and the warning that comes with it. Men are basically stupid. I don't know if I should get an applause there from the women. Men are animals a lot of times. Left to ourselves, we would do things that are just mind-boggling and do those things sometimes. And a woman who knows anything about a man and how easy it is to con a man and to catch a man and to bait a man and to lure a man, it is the easiest thing on the planet if you get a weak man. And it happens every day. There are movies out about this. Movies about how to get a man and then get rid of him in 10 days. I mean, just crazy stuff. How do you even get a man with the whole plot to get rid of him in 10 days if it's not so easy to get him in the first place? You just suck him in. It's the easiest thing on the planet. So James warns and specifically says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away. You are lured forth like baiting an animal, like putting feed out in a feeder and coming out of the safety of the woods like a deer would come out and feed and just get hammered, get shot. It's exactly what we do to ourselves, he says. We are drawn away by our own desires and enticed. Now let me read you this word for desires. It's a desire, it's a craving, it's a longing, a desire for what is forbidden. And the last word is just lust. I gotta have something. I can't live without it. And we get to this point of the deal and it just consumes us. If we feed it, it will consume us. And the word enticed here means to bait, to catch by a bait, metaphorically, to beguile by blandishments, allure, entice, deceive. We start playing these games in our heads and start thinking about, you know, again, alcohol is not my deal. And people say, well, I don't drink all the liquor. I'm just a wine person. You know, there's stuff in the Old Testament that talks about this getting a glass of wine. And if you've ever seen somebody do this, they get a nice glass of wine at dinner at candlelight, and they start sloshing that wine around that glass and smelling it, and the wine begins to speak to them. And they look at it and hold it up to the light. Now all of a sudden, there's somebody. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing in there, a bunch of grape juice that's fermented. Now let me read it again. Then when desire has conceived, it comes to life in you, but that life has got you. You don't have control of it. It has control of you. It gives birth to sin. So the desire, the lust is there. You let it follow through, and what's born of it is sin. And sin, when it is full grown or mature, does what? It brings forth death. We all got struggles. And if you don't have struggles anymore, you're going to be at the front of the line saying, God, use me to help somebody who's where I was because I know how that sucks and I don't want anybody going through that anymore. Use me. And now you're brokenhearted, tenderhearted, gentle and trying to reach out and find people and help them get where you are, not cocky, proud, look what I've done. But God has humbled me and gotten me to the place where I'm okay myself and I can help somebody else and not self-righteous, religious, poking fingers at people.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the Talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
I said a few weeks ago, this is messy work. It is messy. And all of us live every day with these kind of temptations coming our way, period. And I don't care how old you get. I asked my mentor one day, he was 70-something years old before he died. I said, and I asked an 80-year-old man the other day who was one of the godliest men I've ever met. I spend time with him from time to time. I said, just the sex thing alone. I said, does it ever go away? He said, it gets better, but it never goes away. An 80-year-old man telling me he still got the reality of that in his mind, in his life. He said, well, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to give that up. You don't mean God's going to get me to give that up. It's not about giving anything up. Sin is simply fulfilling a godly desire in an ungodly way. God made sex. He created us all this intricate stuff. It's unbelievable. But he didn't make it for outside of marriage because it destroys trust. It creates confusion and guilt and fear. And it may be fun for a while, but it doesn't last. And you got to find somebody else. It's just not what he intended. And you think, well, there's no big deal. I'm getting away with it. You are not. I am not going to get away with anything. God loves me too much as my father to not discipline me and track me down. Turn yourself in. And it may just be in the closet, in your home, in the car when you leave here, or right now, wherever you're sitting, listening to this message, you say, you know what, God, enough's enough. I am turning myself in. I run from you, act like there's no big deal. This is sin. I'm going to call it what you call it. I do not want to be destroyed by this. I know you'll forgive me, and I need some help. If I got to go disconnect my cable, if I got to get the videos out of my house, if I got to throw all the alcohol in my house away, I've been playing with it. Well, I'm a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic. God, if there's anything that's even remotely taking me someplace I don't need to be, get it out of my life. Because I don't want to live this way and I don't want to die this way. Think about the consequence and where it's always ended up. And you don't have to end up there anymore unless you choose to.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.